Hello and welcome to the Personnel Today Friday podcast. I'm Rob Moss and I'm joined by John Charlton, Mike Berry and Kat Baker. Coming up, a retired senior NHS worker wins £370,000 for stress-related injuries. We discuss the prospect of mandatory age audits as part of the Equality Bill. And we look at this week's announcement to delay the introduction of the Agency Workers Directive. But first, some highlights from the week's news. Childcare voucher providers are campaigning against government plans to scrap tax exemptions on the benefit. Gordon Brown announced last month at the Labour Party conference that the current tax relief on childcare vouchers would be scrapped by 2015, with the money saved being used to fund free nursery places for 250,000 two-year-olds. Simon Moore, Managing Director of Computershare Voucher Services, told Personnel Today this week that a group of 16 voucher providers had met to discuss the best way to fight the government's proposals. UK employers are being forced to hire workers from across the EU because the education system here is not producing school leavers with basic levels of numeracy, literacy and communication skills, according to the British Chambers of Commerce. The warning follows criticism from Tesco chief Terry Leahy this week that employers were left to pick up the pieces when school leavers entered jobs with a woefully low level of education. And finally, seven members of staff at Swindon's Great Western Hospital suspended for playing the internet lying down game have returned to work. The workers were pictured on Facebook lying down on resuscitation trolleys, ward floors and the hospital helipad. Great Western Hospitals Trust said, "We're glad the staff are back doing what they do best. They need to understand that unprofessional behaviour is unacceptable." Okay, first up this week, Mike. Yesterday we had an announcement on the Agency Workers Directive. What's the latest?
Thanks, Rob. The Agency Workers Directive is now not going to be introduced until October 2011. There was speculation that the government would introduce this piece of legislation as early as April next year, but the government has made a sensible decision and listened to employers groups like the CBI and the REC, and the directive will now not come into force until October 2011.
So why have they left it until then?
Well, the government says that it would be unfair to burden businesses any further with extra employment legislation whilst they're still recovering from the recession, or attempting to recover from the recession. So employers have now got the best part of 2 years to prepare for the introduction of the agency workers legislation.
You say it's a sensible decision, Mike. What do the unions think?
Well, naturally, the trade unions are up in arms. They're saying that in a recession, vulnerable workers, or they seem to class agency workers as vulnerable workers, they need all the protection they can get. So they're disappointed that government's caved in, as they would see it, to big business, and there's been an 18-month, two-year delay on implementing this.
But the government hasn't got any choice about implementing it, has it? Because it's come from Europe.
That's right. It's a European directive. It would have had to have been implemented by December 2011, so they've trimmed a couple of months off the implementation date. But overall, I think employers will be happy that they've got an extra 18 months, potentially, to prepare for this.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Kat, I gather you've been looking at equality and diversity issues this week, and specifically at the prospect of age audits.
Yes, I spoke to Chris Ball, who's the chief executive of the Age and Employment Network, earlier in the week, and he said that employers should be forced to report the age breakdown of their staff through a new clause which should be added to the Equality Bill. He said that this would encourage employers to take a more serious focus on age equality issues. Ball said, "It's a simple matter for many organisations to report what they have achieved in terms of age equality and the age breakdown of their workforces. This reporting should become mandatory. It wouldn't be an onerous thing for employers to do, and it would be helpful in terms of focusing them as organisations on age equality."
So have there been any objections to this?
There have. I spoke to Jonathan Cawthra, who's the Group HR Director of Affinity Sutton, and he told me that by reporting the age breakdown of staff, it wouldn't actually tell you anything about the employer's attitude to age issues, and so the information would actually be of little value. Diana Warman, who's the diversity advisor at the CIPD, also said that if employers are forced to report the age gap or the age breakdowns, those employers that don't do as well could be forced to put spin, or feel forced to put spin on their information, so as to avoid appearing potentially ageist.
Okay, thank you, Kat.
You are listening to the weekly podcast from personaltoday.com.
And finally this week, we're looking at an unprecedented payout for stress-related injuries at work. John, pray tell.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting one. This concerns an NHS bureaucrat, a word we like to use. In fact, he was a senior manager who worked at the City Hospital in Birmingham until 1996, so quite some time ago, when he retired through ill health. Now, he then lodged a claim through the NHS Injury Benefits Scheme. Now,
okay, so this hasn't been heard at a tribunal then?
No, this isn't a court case at all. So he's gone through the NHS Injury Benefits Scheme. So this kicked off in 1996. Now, it was eventually, the ball landed in the court of the Sandwell and West Birmingham Trust, which was only formed in 2002. So it took over responsibilities from the City Hospital in Birmingham. So it dealt with this claim, or rather it became responsible for the outcome of this claim, which dragged on for all these years. And it was ruled that this man, whose name, who remains anonymous, is to get a lump sum of £370,550.85.
My word.
Which is quite stupendous, really. Also, on top of this, he is to be paid £24,000 a year for the rest of his life. Now, I spoke to the trust and asked if this £24,000 a year was backdated to 1996, or whether this was in lieu of pension, part of his pension, and so on. But they are keeping shtum about this, and would probably rather that this had never got out in the first place. And I did read through the minutes of the meetings where the trust reluctantly agreed to pay these sums, but the minutes do not name the person and do not give that much detail. So it's something that we'll be following up. I worked out that if these payments kicked off from 1996, so including the £24,000 a year, that this man, if he lived to, I assumed he was 50 in 1996,
right,
the total payments, if he lived to 80, would be well over £1 million, which would put it way at the top of stress-related payouts.
So do you think this might open the door for similar claims, or sets a
This is peculiar to the NHS, remember. The NHS has this injury benefits scheme, which is administered by the NHS Business Services Agency. But certainly, I would imagine if you're working in the NHS, it would send out some sort of signal. I mean, it's fair to say that most of the payouts are for physical injuries. Mm. So for stress, this is enormous. And I checked back through some cases. So these are stress cases that have gone to the tribunal. And the highest award I could find was one that went out in 2008 to a Susan Dickens, who'd been a finance manager at O2, who got £109,754 through the courts.
Tiny in comparison.
Indeed.
Okay, thank you, John. And that brings us to the end of this week's Friday podcast. Visitors to HR Space this week have been enjoying the outcome of a long-running discussion thread, or should that be stream? It is, of course, the case of the hospital gardener who was urinating in an inappropriate place at work. If you want to find out the outcome, and I'm sure you do, then log in to hrspace.co.uk. Tara is back in the chair next week. Until then, I just need to remind you to visit personaltoday.com to keep abreast of the latest news and opinion. You've been listening to the Personnel Today Friday podcast with me, Rob Moss, Mike Berry, Kat Baker, and John Charlton. Until next week, goodbye.